how it went. Montgomery, Alabama, December 1st, 1955. A quiet, distinguished woman is standing at the bus stop after another day of bending over an ironing board in a dingy basement in a tailor shop. Her feet are swollen, her shoulders ache. When the bus comes, she climbs the stairs, and her body tells her it is time to sit down. She finds a seat in the front of the colored person section and sits. Whew. The bus moves on down the street. People get on at the next stops. And then the whites-only section has no more seats available. From behind the wheel, the driver instructs Mrs. Parks to give up her seat to a white person. "No," she says. "You know, if you don't get up, I might have to call the police." "Go ahead and do that," she says. So the bus sits and they wait. Then an officer gets on board and he asks Mrs. Park, "Why don't you give up your seat? Why do you all push us around so much?" She responds, "I don't know, but you are under arrest." Fast forward to the trial and conviction of Rosa Parks for disorderly conduct. That afternoon, folks meet at the Holt Street Baptist Church, where they squeeze into every pew possible and then overflow and waiting outside, listening at the loudspeakers. 5,000 people are gathered at the church where Dr. King addresses the crowd. There comes a time that people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. There comes a time when people get tired of being pushed out of the glittering sunlight of life's July and left standing amidst the piercing chill of an alpine November. Here in our community, the spiritual theme of the month is vision. Andy Stanley is a minister I follow quite a bit, and he says, "A vision is born of the soul of a man or woman who is consumed with the tension between what is and what could be. A vision forms in the heart of those dissatisfied with the status quo. It carries a sense of moral conviction and urgency. A vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion that it should be." And so what I want to explore with you a little bit this morning is the idea that saying no can create space to birth and live out a vision. The great American hero, Rosa Parks, was dissatisfied with the status quo. She certainly had a sense of moral conviction and urgency and a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion that it should be. And you think about it, this is one of the greatest stories in American history. If somebody's visiting from another country, it would be a good one to present to them. And you could say all she did was say no and follow up on the no. And that's why I say this is about the power of no. The power of no. Rosa Parks said no to the humiliation and oppression of segregation. In doing so, she was one of the people that helped shut out some of the negatives of racism in America, at least long enough to make space for the birthing and living out of a vision for a better country. Saying no can create space for birthing and living out a vision. Now, let's be frank, it can be difficult to say no to those paths in our lives which take us off the trail of our moral compass. There are many days when I wish I had something near the courage that Rosa Parks had to say no. And we should lift up and celebrate that as Unitarian Universalists. We're blessed because we can draw on a great heritage of many people who said no and stood along with their no. They said no to slavery, they said no to war, they said no to keeping women as second-class citizens, and on and on. And now we're part of the living tradition. And it's our job partly to draw on that strength and keep going. In following our soul compass, let's call it our soul compass, I think many of us understand this tradition as Unitarian Universalists, and at least intellectually. Now we have privilege and other things that keep us comfortable, but at least intellectually and many times in our hearts, we're more comfortable saying it's good to say no to bad social injustices. And I think when we just are reflecting on our own lives, we're less comfortable many times saying no in an individual context. At the individual level, embracing no may seem a bit counterintuitive. And this is perhaps connected to the fact we're religion working to affirm life. Sí a la vida. Even in our darkest moments, when we feel lost or stuck, deep in our guts, we want, it's not less life we want, it's more. We want to be saying yes to life, so it feels we're a little off if we're saying no, no, no. But what we know from our common sense and our own experiences is that if we say yes all the time, there's not much power in our yes or our no, and our quality of life will crumble under the weight of unreasonable demands. Realistically speaking, many times saying no causes stress. Rosa Parks experienced great stress in her civil disobedience. She went on a speaking tour with Dr. King not too long after the trial, fundraising, raising publicity for the movement. And she said she was sick to her stomach every day because of the public spotlight. She was physically ill on that tour. But this dynamic of stress and saying no can play out in smaller, more personal examples as well, as we know about this. If you say no to helping out your neighbor, she asks, she says, hey, I'm going to be away for a little while. Can you watch my house? Take care of the animals, the plants, and the mail. You think, if I say no, I'm going to be a bad neighbor. But we have to remember that it also causes stress to be out of integrity and go in the wrong direction. If you say yes and really don't have the time or the bandwidth to house it, you may experience more stress than if you did say no. I know a man, Paul, who is well into his 50s, quite successful in his career as a counselor. Before he fully realized how strongly dependent he was on other people's approval. Many times we talk about this as people-pleasing. Paul realized, I really have a problem with people-pleasing. This tendency was so strong that he didn't actually know what he thought or felt on numerous issues. And this was because he was so focused and always trying to do or say what he thought others wanted. So he said, he had to go through years of reflection and retraining and talking to friends and getting help. How could he be his true self? I'll bet many of us can identify with his struggles. I know I can. Paul, through all this work he's done, now knows that saying no can create space to birth and live out a vision of how to be himself. He now says that he knows saying no is one of the most important ingredients for a life to be filled with peace of mind and contentment. This is not a no rooted in cynicism or emotional withdrawal, but with the ability to say no comes balance and healthy boundaries. Good fences make good neighbors. And he went on to say, although this is a universally understood word, many of us have a hard time saying no for fear of upsetting someone else. And thus, we end up feeling burdened or resentful, even victimized. And a lot of times we forget we were the ones who said yes in the first place. Saying no, at times, helps you to preserve who you are, better know who you are. And as parents, those of us who are active parents, we have to instill this wisdom through our parenting techniques. And I have come to believe this is harder than one might think. Saying no. Frank Bruni, one of my favorite columnists, recently criticized many modern parents. He knows relatives, friends, for being too soft. He says he's seen a lot of scenarios where the parents are like this. No, Jimmy, you can't do that. Oh, Jimmy, no. Jimmy, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. Jimmy, this is really the last time I'm going to... And Frank says, the kids are not fools. They know that if you say no and last time five times, neither of them really mean what you're saying. Suffice it to say that in my own parenting, it has not come naturally for me to say last or no only one time and then stick with it. But I am coming to believe through experience, some of it a bit painful, what many parents have known for centuries. If we can't help our children understand what the true meanings of no and yes are, we're impeding their development. So, how do we do this? There's a spiritual exercise of the month that's in the small group programming. I'll offer it for you today. I should have a graphic, but I don't. So imagine a pie, a life pie. Let's say there's six pieces of the pie in the circle, and you can write important areas of your life in there: spirituality, romance and adventure, play, work, fitness, friends, whatever. And then go in there and see, how are you doing in that area? How are you doing with your friends? If you're doing really great, put it right near the center. If you're doing poorly, put it towards the outside. And then pick an area of your life. It could be physical fitness, whatever you want. And say, I'm not doing well there. What is going on in my life that is impeding me? And what in my life can I say no to do better, to create space, to birth a vision for a better way? It might lead you to say no to watching more television so you can live out a vision of more quiet time in your life. It might lead you to say no to sitting home alone and isolating so you can live out a vision of getting out more, building more meaningful, supportive friendships in your life. It might lead you to saying no to hours of solitaire on your computer and have a vision to follow through more on the self-care that your doctor and friends have been talking with you about. It might lead you to say no to church. Some committee or somebody's asking you to do something. You might realize, I'm burned out right now, or I'm just struggling a little bit too much with guilt or resentment. If the church has to be a place where we practice saying no, and it's absolutely good and okay. And what I'm saying today, if we're going to be more successful in individual lives and as parents and as a community, the church has to be able to do this as well. A lot of companies, a lot of people who study business try and identify what makes a company great. Jim Collins wrote a book, Good to Great, which isolates eight principles that companies who were sustained in their greatness for a long time, what was making them click. And it shows a lot of principles that churches and organizations can use. One of the principles is the hedgehog concept. Hedgehog is an animal that simplifies a complex world into one single organizing idea, a basic principle, and sticks to it. So Starbucks does coffee, easy example. They've learned over the years they have to say no. A lot of good ideas of what could you, what, you know, we do billions of dollars of profit. What else could we stick down there to sell extra when people are coming through for their coffee? Sandwiches, salads, they've learned they have to say no to a lot of that stuff to keep their eyes on the prize. So as a Unitarian Universalist church, what I'm saying, just like Rosa Parks said no, Dr. King said no, so they could create space for eyes on the prize of the civil rights movement, Starbucks does their thing. The church, what is our mission and what are we saying yes to in our programming and what do we say no to? It's hard. This is Mount Airy Church. There's a million ideas on every block for good stuff to do. But if we say yes to it all, we stand for nothing and fall for everything, something like that. So this is something I want to be working with the leadership of the church on, focusing on what we do and saying no to some stuff, even good ideas. Dr. King said it. There comes a time that people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. Let's say no to gun violence and unfair systems in America. Let's say no to payday lending in a society where most people who work in restaurants don't even have sick leave. That's the case in Philly. Let's say no to unacceptably low levels of support for our public schools. Let's say no to the prison industrial complex, driving more prison people to prison than ever. On a personal level, I agree with Kabir. Let's say no to the status quo when it's unacceptable. Let's say no to going in an imaginary boat down a non-existent river. Say yes and stand firm in that which you are. Blessings be. Amen.